And welcome, folks, to this very special report, urgent report of the Hagmann Report on this Friday, February 9th, 2024. A couple of things. Now, obviously, this was unscheduled. However, the news of the week is so heavy that we need to address a few things. But also, I'm on the road, and I will be on the road for the duration of the month. I ask that you watch HagmannPI.com. That's HagmannPI.com for updates about certain things, very important things, strategic things. You know, I can't sit behind a microphone in a studio somewhere and ask you to become active when I am not, okay, when I just sit there and talk. So I've taken to the road. I'm engaged in some meetings in addition to some work relative to the organization of shatterops.org. And having said that, there is right now at HagmannPI.com as well as on Rumble and Brighteon a very special report involving ShatterOps and AFIA. You might know AFIA if you've been watching this platform. Her situation is really dire, okay? That's all I'll say. Just watch that video report from today that we did, and please share it with everyone you know. When you have a broken country because of a stolen election, this is what happens. This is a very personal thing to me. I will do everything, and we, Eric the Tech, and I are doing everything in our power to assist ShatterOps, to assist AFIA, to bring back her children. However, it looks like the warrants that are against AFIA, she may have to turn herself in. Folks, I pray that I pray for a different outcome for that. All right, because she's facing two counts of a child abduction and of her own children, might I add, who are endangered as we speak. All right, enough of that. I just want to alert you to that. Please watch and share on your social media. I will be active on social media throughout the month. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Publicly, I want to thank Eric the Tech. He was engaged in a lot of stuff, things that are going on right now that he broke away from to allow me to do this, produce this show. So Eric the Tech, God bless you. Thank you. Change in latitude for me. It's a little warmer where I'm at, but frankly, I'd like to be able to maybe grab a couple of days in the sun, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. However, Eric the Tech is going to join me, and together we are going to be doing some things that we'll be reporting on at some point in the future. But this week, really, this being Friday, this week has been an incredible week in news, from the Tucker Carlson interview that was aired yesterday. Folks, watch that interview in its entirety. It's a fascinating interview. Now, from my perspective as an investigator, when you look at the body language, obviously, Putin's a master at controlling his body language, but Tucker Carlson, I'm sure he was schooled on certain things, okay, about body language, about movements, and about the even facial expressions. Now, all of that said, the content of that meeting, of that interview, was just absolutely fabulous. We also saw this week the failure to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas by a vote of 216 to 214, with three, count them, three Republicans voting against impeachment. And the three Republicans are Ken Buck. Now, Ken Buck is from, he's a Republican from Colorado. Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin. And, of course, Tom McClintock, of course, California. These three Republicans tanked the impeachment of Mayorkas, saying that his crimes did not rise high enough to high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, let me explain something to everyone here. I've been following this. I've been, I'm not going to name drop, okay? But what's taking place with Mayorkas, folks, understand this. Mayorkas was a former board member, but still a supporter and active in an NGO called HIAS, H-I-A-S, the Hebrew Immigrant the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. That organization is one of 62 NGOs currently at the Darien Gap at the bus stations now. They used to be camps, but merely they're bus stations. And by bus stations, what I'm saying is you've got illegal invaders coming into this country. When Biden took over on the first day, okay, the number of buses out of Darien Gap increased tremendously. In the during the transition period with Biden, there were by the time Biden got sworn in, there were 60 buses per day. Now, an average bus, I don't know how many that holds, but today there is an average of 200 buses leaving on Highway 1 from the Pan American Highway. And by the way, I did write for Wisconsin Christian News an article about this, about the Pan American Highway, the canal, and the reason for the existence of the Darien Gap. It's very important for people to understand the geography and why things are taking place the way they are, okay? But Mayorkas, having had these three Republicans, again, stolen elections have absolutely catastrophic consequences, even midterms. Well, the three Republicans who refused to impeach Mayorkas, they would have failed in the Senate anyway. It wouldn't have gone anywhere. But the fact of the matter is, we don't need impeachment of Mayorkas. We need an arrest of Mayorkas for treason, because you have now 200 buses and counting coming out of the Darien Gap, out of camps, a Chinese, exclusive Chinese camp, which on April 18th of 2022, Mayorkas visited and expanded this encampment with U.S. tax dollars. Now, that's the San Vicente camp. Also, what was once Fort Clayton and I'm looking off at my notes here, what was the old Fort Clayton is now in Panama, the City of Knowledge. Again, the U.S. Army South headquarters has been turned into this invader central hub. And I really need people to understand what's going on. I've had communications with Michael Yon. I do intend to join Michael Yon at the Darien Gap. I know that I think Eric the Tech might have had a minor heart attack thinking, hey, you're going to do that? I am going to do that. I was invited, actually, Brett Weinstein, who was on with Tucker Carlson, joined Michael Yon as well as Chris Martinson. Michael Yon himself, I believe, is scheduled tentatively to be interviewed by Tucker Carlson. But just so people know, you can't conduct face-to-face strategy and tactical interviews of substance over Zoom, over Skype, over the telephone. It's got to be face-to-face. And that's what we're doing this month. So I thank the supporters. And last Sunday, we had a meeting of our supporters. And I hopefully gave a fairly decent overview of what we have been doing, what we intend to do. Now, again, Eric the Tech is going to be joining me And boy, when we get together, watch out. But I do need Eric the Tech, because he is a man of extreme capability, and I appreciate him. Then we saw, of course, a couple of other things that really are extremely important. One is the Supreme Court of the United States, all right? I'm not going to do this in order here in the summation, initial summation, and then I'm going to go back and revisit each one briefly. The Supreme Court of the United States heard arguments about presidential immunity. Now, everything I'm talking about is interconnected, because the presidential immunity is necessary, not to give carte blanche to a commander-in-chief or to a president, two separate roles, by the way, to do whatever they want to do. But if this would pass, this would end our constitutional republic by defanging the ability, or taking away the ability of a president to act as commander-in-chief or to act as the CEO or the head of our nation. And just as you'll see, just on cue, we had Rose Antifa there at the Supreme Court with pre-made signage against, you know, saying, hey, no immunity for President Trump. Okay, well, it's just not about President Trump. That was before the Supreme Court. Also before the Supreme Court, and lit up. I mean, you talk about being lit up. The issue of insurrection, folks, you're going to see some footage. You just watch the footage where they're trying to call, in this case, Colorado, the wild-eyed, crazy-eyed woman from Colorado, the Secretary of State in Colorado, saying that President Trump cannot be on the ballot because he's guilty, or he's been charged with, which he hasn't, or he has engaged in insurrection, citing, of course, the 14th Amendment. Okay, for this wild woman to attempt to interfere with our elections, and that's exactly what's taking place right now. And this is a bigger point I want to make. Everything you're seeing take place this week has been, things have brewed to this point, okay? The convergence of events this week, which is why I'm doing this from the road, the convergence of events this week was not an accident. This is actually something that we have, the left, the globalists, the subversive groups present and infiltrating our government has set this up. And I want to make a specific point here, because you're going to see something else that happened at Hagman PI. I posted a link to the 388-page report. And interestingly enough, the Department of Justice will not allow me to actually embed that document in my post, which it's just not right, okay? But anyway, I read all the, I'll tell you what, last night I read through all three, yesterday and into the evening, I read through all 388 pages. We're going to be talking about that. The applicable phrase for that report is non compos mentis, okay? Folks, remember that phrase. It's going to come up. There it is right there. Thank you, Eric the Tech. And in the show notes, that is page one, cut one. Now, that consists of 388 pages. And what does this have to do with? Well, obviously, Biden Joseph Robinette's, you know, the meat puppet got caught with classified. And I mean, when I say classified, I'm talking about the top level of classification documents at UPenn, at his Delaware residence next to his Corvette, and other places. There are photographs embedded in this report that show you where some of these items were kept. But I want to draw your attention in this report, speaking of non corpus mentis, to page 210 and 211. I don't know, Eric the Tech, if you can bring up 210 and 211 at this point or not, but this is really the crux. In fact, it might be embedded within the actual post at Hagmann PI itself, the text from pages 210 and 211. I'm uncertain if you can bring that up. But it's very important to understand what's going on here. I had told you, folks, I had told you months ago, especially, well, last year, that Biden would not be on the ticket for 2024. Folks, Biden will not be on the ticket for 2024. And I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would put my money on Big Mike. Big Mike has got to be being, or is being set up to take over as the 2024 nominee. And by Big Mike, you know I'm talking about Michael Michelle Obama. Now, I know my previous guest, the name escapes me, who wrote Michelle Obama 2024. My goodness, what the heck's wrong? Anyway, I feel like Joe Biden now. Anyway, saying that you know, she did have the children, of course, not berries, but anyway. Okay, here on your screen is the specific excerpt that references the phrase, represents the phrase non corpus mentis, which means without wit, without faculty, inability to process information. Buried on page 210 and 211, this specifically in 211, I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read this for our audio listeners only. In this interview with our office, now this is an investigation by special counsel Kenneth Herr, to look into the classified document case regarding Biden. Of course, the excuse here is not that he didn't have the classified documents, but he doesn't have the wits about him to realize he has classified documents. I'll read this. In his interview with our office, Mr. Biden's memory was worse. He did not remember when he was vice president, forgetting the first day of the interview when his term ended. Quote, if it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president? And forgetting the second day of the interview, when his term even began in 2009. Am I still vice president? This is what he is testifying to under oath. Depositions. And by the way, when was this done? This was done. Are you ready for this? October 8th of last year. What happened on October 7th? I digress, but consider this. Okay. Continuing with the document. He did not remember, even within several years, when his son Beau died. Now look, I might have some occasional lapses of memory, but I could tell you the day, the location, and everything about the death of my son. And you're telling me this guy has got his fingers on the nuclear weapons? And it goes on. So we're not going to prosecute him because, well, he's elderly, he's well-intentioned, but he's just out to lunch. The guy is just, he's got nothing. Two monkeys fighting over a banana up there. So if that's the case, who in the living bleep is running our country? Hey, it's Obama's third term. And are you ready for Obama's fourth term? But Obama's just the middle guy. Okay. So there was, in the show notes, page one, cut one, the report, or go to Hagman PI. And folks, please do me a favor. Please do me a favor. Bookmark Hagman PI. Watch Hagman PI throughout the month. Okay, Eric the Tech did such a marvelous job with the creation of that website. And do me a favor, please share the website and my writings on social media. All right. Now, Raheem Kassam, appearing with Steve Bannon, has some things to say about that report and about Biden and about where things are. This is video one, or this is cut one, Raheem Kassam. Go ahead and play it when you can.
Raheem, your thoughts first on this bombshell report put out by Merrick Garland's DOJ. This is a massive game changer. Do you agree with me, sir?
Yeah, hey, Steve, thanks for having me. I have been through the hundreds of pages this afternoon that has come out from the special counsel. And, you know, I got to tell you, this is about as bad, I think, for Joe Biden as they were trailing in advance, right? They trailed, they put out some lines, they put out some statements of what they were expecting. And I think this is on the particularly the worst end of the spectrum as far as they were concerned. You've got to get into the detail on this. This is them speaking directly to the audience here to recognize just how deep the rot is now set and recognize just how badly the country is being run and being let down by this. You know, we said it the day of in 2020 when we knew the cheat was in. The regime, right? From day one, we refused to call it an administration, and rightly so. So let's look at the detail on this, and we have it up at thenationalpulse.com. We've gone through line by line what exactly we're seeing here. The predominant thing here that the American public will see is that there is a circumstance where the special counsel has said that this man, Joe Biden, willfully continued to take documents from when he was a vice president. He had documents from when he was a senator and kept them amongst, quote, household detritus. And it took his ghostwriter of his book to find these packages and say, hey, I think you might have some national security documents down here. At that point in time, remember, there still was no owning up. There was still no resubmission of these documents. There wasn't a position where Joe Biden said, oh my goodness, how could this have happened? Let's turn these over immediately. That did not happen. And that is a critical part of this if you consider how the government is treated.
Raheem, hang on one second. Short commercial break. Raheem Kassam, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, next. Raheem Kassam, continue on. You've already done your analysis. Go to National Pulse, one of the best sites out there, if not the best site out there. Raheem, continue on your analysis of this devastating report about Joe Biden.
Yeah, look, I really think that people have to go and see some of these critical details for themselves. But I'll give you two things that really, truly stood out here amongst all of this. So we know that the special counsel said that he willfully kept these documents. We know where they were found. We know how they were stored, unsecured, not under the protection of Secret Service like you had at Mar-a-Lago. And the two things that really jump out at me here is, number one, in the report, they say he actually may have leaned on some of these documents for one of his books that got released. I think it was 2017, which means that he's not just kept these documents, he's profited off these documents. That is a critical part of this. And secondarily to this is that evidence was deleted after the special counsel was instructed to go through this. Specifically, Joe Biden's ghostwriter deleted audio recordings of Joe Biden, which had, quote, significant evidentiary value. Now, the special counsel has said, and this is the takeaway line, the special counsel has said that they will not pursue a
Those two points are so critical for people to understand. Again, this is Merrick Garland's special counsel looking into the Biden mishandling of classified documents. And at the same time, not just mishandling the documents, but altering the evidence during an investigation of the documents and profiting personally from the contents of those classified documents. But yet President Trump having stored declassified documents under lock and key at Mar-a-Lago, and then having being subjected to a midnight style raid by the FBI. This is what we're dealing with. So this week, the report came out this week. It's no accident. But what's the message of the report? The message of the report is, hey, the guy ain't there. Why did this report come out this week as opposed to, I don't know. They could have slow walked it maybe sometime in November because they need to get him off the ballot. And they're looking for reasons. And it's not for... obviously, it is not because of criminal actions. It's because the guy is not physically or mentally capable. Again, non capus mentis. All right. A little more on this, just briefly. And Eric the Tech, you can start at 30 seconds in on this if you would like. Stephen Miller, the former White House advisor, again, on Real America's Voice, talking about the same issue, but a little bit more strongly and just from a different angle. And I think this is important as well. The entire video you can find in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. But go ahead and play that when you're ready.
I have a Fox News clip.
Okay. It was Stephen Miller on the Fox News, I believe it was.
He said that Joe Biden is less mentally fit and capable than the average inmate in San Quentin. That you could go to any federal prison in the country, pick any random inmate, drug dealer, murderer, anybody there, and they would be more mentally capable than the President of the United States of America. It is a very low bar to be ruled mentally fit for trial. That very low bar, the most retirees in most retirement communities all across the country can meet, the President of the United States does not meet. When they talk about diminished faculties, those are phrases you hear in a hospice care setting when they're explaining to the children of the patient why grandpa is biting the care workers. That's how bad this is, Jesse. That's the President of the United States. And he certainly, as Mark said, did not allay any concerns when he thinks the President of Egypt is the President of Mexico. He went on TV live tonight and talked about opening up humanitarian gateways from Mexico to the Gaza Strip. Do you know how demented and deranged that sounds? A man shouted angrily at reporters, accosted them, screamed at them, and then he said, let's talk about the President of Mexico, El Sisi, and our plan for Gaza relief. This is a PR catastrophe for the White House, but it is a national security catastrophe, Jesse, for the United States of America.
You're right. And then afterwards, when he was speaking to Democrats this afternoon after this thing dropped, he said, I was elected to be the president for red states and green states. I hadn't heard that one before. Yeah. I think it's
the
red states,
Dr. Seuss line,
and blue states. But go back to the picture that we're going to show now. Look at the garage. This is the President of the United States garage, Stephen Miller. This is where he was keeping information about U.S. weapons capabilities, foreign intelligence, military secrets. There it is, next to a lamp with duct tape wrapped around it and a shoebox. The FBI said that box was so dilapidated and crumbled that they couldn't even pick it up. They had to take the classified documents and put it in another box. Now, this is a garage that Hunter's in and out of with Jackie Bao, who's tied to Chinese intelligence. This is where the garage doors open. They're going on a joyride in the Corvette. Now, you take this and look at Donald Trump, where his documents were. They were locked up in a secure facility. Boxes had tops on them, guarded by Secret Service on an estate on an island. Now, the media went crazy when those images came out. How can you continue to go forward with this document prosecution on the Trump side after what we've witnessed here with this off-ramp that the special counsel has given Joe Biden, who had a garage that looked like my great-grandfather's after a rummage sale?
Folks, you can watch the entire clip at HagmanPI.com in the show notes for this special report. But I've been in Eric the Tech's garage, okay? And he's been in my garage. And I've got to say, although my garage is not as spick and span as Eric the Tech, it's not like that. And I gotta say, this is one of the biggest, I believe, one of the biggest stories that the media won't touch in the history of the Biden regime. Folks, understand what's happening here. The left has got to dump Biden, and they're doing everything possible to not. If you watched the press conference yesterday, if you watched his 12-minute word salad yesterday, and specifically watch the Q&A at the end. Oh. I'm going to tell you what. He doesn't have a friend in the media. Very important. They're turning on him for a reason. They're turning on him by design and by mandate from the handler. Okay. They got everything out of Joe Biden that they were able to get out of Joe Biden. And now they're going to kick him to the curb. And by the way, shame on Jill Biden. She puts Edith Wilson to shame, Woodrow Wilson's wife, who really ran the country while he was impaired with from a stroke. But all of that said, this is all converging this week. And the last thing I really want to touch on, and I hope to be hooking up with, meeting with Laura Loomer when she gets back from Washington, D.C. I had mentioned earlier about, and maybe Eric the Tech and I can do that. He's a good friend of the show, a friend of mine. I had mentioned about the presidential immunity case before SCOTUS right now. She was up along with some of her, at least one of her staff, was up covering that event. The reason I want to show you this video, pay very special attention, not to the few number of people there in terms of the protesters, but pay attention to the signage and pay attention to some of the things Laura says about the backing of the people protesting against President Trump. This is cut three, Laura Loomer.
Laura, you and your team is out there today getting great footage, but I want to talk specifically about this very disturbing Antifa involvement. The police didn't shut it down. The media didn't cover it. What happened?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Steve. So we're out there today in front of the Supreme Court, and the Democrats were very well organized. I was really shocked to see that there weren't a lot of Republican lawmakers there organizing in support of President Trump. But you know who was there was Rose City Antifa, and they all happened to have very large banners that said remove Trump. They also had a matching sign, so clearly somebody's funding them, somebody's paying for them. And there's a video right after news broke that, you know, the Supreme Court really was scrutinizing the arguments made by Crew and the Colorado Supreme Court, much in favor of President Trump. That's when Antifa started to become more aggressive and violent outside of the Supreme Court. And I posted the video. You have it there and you can play it for your viewers. You can actually see these people blocking traffic with their banner, Capitol Police standing right next to them on their bikes, not doing anything to shut them down. And in a previous video I posted from this morning, there were a couple of Trump supporters who were being harassed and shoved by these Antifa protesters who were carrying...
Laura, do we still have you? Or did you drop?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you just dropped a second. Let me ask you a question while I got you, because we've got to bounce in a second. You also had other your investigators or your reporters there. They confronted the Secretary of State of Colorado, who was quite arrogant in her interviews afterwards. You asked her, your people asked her pretty straightforward questions about the funding of Soros, paying for her trips, all that. What was that about, and what were her answers?
Yeah, so Secretary of State Jenna Griswold from Colorado was there, and you can check the FEC reports. It's well known that she took money from Soros and several of his children as well. And so we just asked her point blank, did Soros pay for your trip, and how much money did Soros pay you to remove Trump from the ballot? As I exclusively reported, and, you know, it was interviewed on your show about in October and November of last year, Steve, the group that pushed this lawsuit forward is a group called Crew. And they were there today. They're the group that initially funded this lawsuit. And the executive director and one of the co-founders, Melanie Sloan, is literally on video saying that their largest donor is George Soros. And I just broke this story today. It's very disturbing. Moments ago before coming on your show, Steve, this guy, Noah Bookbinder, who is the president of Crew, who was there at the Supreme Court today representing Crew, we actually confronted him on video. I'll be posting that in the next hour or so. Did you know that he is actually working with DHS and Alejandro Mayorkas? In 2022, Alejandro Mayorkas appointed Noah Bookbinder to serve on the DHS Advisory Committee. So this guy, who is literally working and orchestrating the lawsuits to get President Trump removed, is an appointee by Alejandro Mayorkas at the Homeland Security Advisory Council. So in other words, Joe Biden's administration under the DHS and under Mayorkas' watch is directing the assault on our elections to remove President Trump, which means, you know, these House Republicans who failed to impeach Mayorkas this week, it just got even worse for them, because not only are they not stopping the invasion of our country, but they're stopping Mayorkas from using his political operatives and appointees within DHS to interfere in our elections.
Okay, you can cut that. Now, again, folks, the information she provided, incredibly important to Mayorkas. Again, it should not be subject to impeachment. He needs to be arrested, tried, convicted for treason against the United States. Working with Crew, working with George Soros, working with HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, to invade, to facilitate the invasion of the U.S. All right, do you see where all of these events this week are now? Have now come together. Okay, so now from this week, this is a launching point now, this week, to number one, set up the 2024 ticket on the leftist communist side. That's what's taking place. It's got to this point. The second thing, the attack against President Trump at the Supreme Court, and by these rogue secretaries of state. When you, by the way, did you notice her? Yeah, not someone I certainly would want to date if I was in the market to date. Okay, no. When you look at the faces, look at the eyes are the wind of the soul. Look, you can tell a lot of things from not the physical appearance, but the really what I would call a spiritual presence. And to me, we are looking at the epitome of evil. So with that, that's the end of that. But folks, understand, this has been one of the biggest news weeks, although the primary media, the print media, the cable media, you wouldn't know it. But this has been one of the biggest news weeks in a long time, and a lot of things, a lot of moving parts, they're all interrelated. Okay, I'm going to close with this. This is kind of a fun thing. even Lady, the studio dog who's with me, traveling with me, God bless her. Even this, she has something to say about it, all right? But I want to show you this. This is a video. Well, in fact, Eric the Tech, can we put the article up, the article itself up first? This is a case. I mean, you talk about the mental illness in this country. Do you need more proof? And this is by PJ Media. Do you need more proof that transgenderism is a mental disorder? Well, here you go. And folks, you can read through this article. But the gem within this is in the transitioning of a male to a female. This guy's, apparently, this guy's roommate, I don't even know how to describe him. Okay, I don't know how to describe him. He had his testicles removed, but he went a step further. He took the testicles and put them in his refrigerator. Now, the person that he was living with, not she, but he, and you're going to see both on screen here momentarily, yeah, he really didn't like that too much. You know, you put them next to the mayonnaise, the eggs, who knows? You could act, Eric the Tech, I mean, you know, you can open up my refrigerator. I don't have a set of testicles there. Do you? I'm just curious.
It's a great source of protein.
Great source. I've heard of Rocky Mountain oysters, but this kind of goes above that. So I want to leave you on that kind of a funny, sad, but funny note. Watch this video, and this is testimony. The man
testimony.
Who had his testimony. I love it. The guy who had his nuts taken off, these nuts, and I'm not, these nuts, okay? That's a thing with this guy. Because he was known as Big D and these nuts and these nuts, these nuts. Remember that commercial? These nuts. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah. You just got to watch this video, folks. This is about a civil suit suing for $6,500 to get his nuts back, not put back where they belong, but just get them back so he, who wants to be a she, can keep them for itself. I don't even know what pronouns to use because they're all friggin' nuts. Unintended. Watch this.
So in Mr. Wojciechowski's response, he admits that he possessed the medical specimen and he admits that he disposed of them.
Okay.
I am suing for the return of them and damages in the amount of $6,500.
She had had her testicles removed, I believe if I recall correctly, it was March 23rd, and they were left in the fridge. I wanted nothing to do with it. I thought it was odd, but I try not to judge because everybody's a little different. It's what made her happy, whatever. I want nothing to do with them. I'm not one for body parts and all that stuff. It's kind of gross, actually. It's part of her twisted humor, not mine.
And so they were in the house from March, April to...
They were there from April 2022. Until July of 2023, when I disposed of them.
Yeah, so because that physical anomaly has been a point of stress in my life since I can remember, and my middle name that I chose is D, because my whole life I've been called Big D, MD from the D, and I thank God that these D's nuts were extracted. And they were put into a biohazard bag. And for shits and giggles, I put them in a mason jar. And I put them in the fridge next to the eggs.
So let me ask you this. Was the conversation ever from you, I'm done with you, could you please get your testicles out of my refrigerator?
That never came up. And if they were so important to her, I don't understand why she didn't grab them then.
So the amount that I'm claiming is for the damages of not having these nuts with me. I want them in my fridge, not his. I'm not sure why he would want to keep them.
But
the damages were the loss of these nuts.
Oh, my head hurts. Oh, you know, you can't make this up. I want to leave you with kind of a humorous thing to laugh at. But in retrospect, maybe it's something to cry about. Folks, we've gone so far down the rabbit hole. We've gone so far down the abyss. When you have an argument in a civil court setting about the custody of two testicles in a mason jar, I don't know what to say. Folks, Doug Hagmann, please watch HagmannPI.com. Keep your eye on that. There are some things that will be posted that are going to be very important. Really give Eric the Tech a pat on the back for everything he does. I want to publicly thank him. And thank each and every one of you for giving me the ability to be out and about, to do what I need to do, and to do what Eric needs to do to get the job done in this very critical year of 2024, when our lives, everything about everything that we're dealing with, is going to change. The convergence of events this week. God bless each and every one of you, and thank you so much for being part of the Hagmann Report.